toxic political environment is the number one reason people leave the senior executive service, according to exit surveys done by the Office of Personnel Management. More than half say senior leadership and their agency's organizational structures aren't helping much either. Bob Tobias is professor of key executive leadership programs at American University, analyzing OPM's exit survey results and how many senior executives think that they could be convinced to stay on the job. Bob, it's great to talk to you as always, my friend. What's your number one takeaway from the numbers that OPM's putting out about these exit surveys? Thanks for being on as always.
Well, thank you, Francis. Two things. Number one, of those leaving, 85% received either outstanding or fully successful. That's one thing. So these are not people who are being pushed out.
Right.
Number two, 40% of the respondents had held the SES positions for only 5 years or less. What this means is that we have a lot of people who are growing old, eligible to retire, but we're not able to keep the young people who are coming in with into the SES. They're leaving in disproportionate numbers.
And that's a story that's prominent across government, Bob. We're going to be focusing on this throughout the week in a special report that my program's about to start tomorrow called the Reverse Retirement Wave. And some agencies are reporting, not just in the SES, but overall, that more millennials and young people in the lower GS grades are leaving than older folks are retiring. And that creates a really terrible situation, it seems, 3, 5, 10 years down the road for your workforce.
Without a doubt. We need people coming into the SES who are committed to a long-term career in the SES, and having them drop out with less than 5 years is, I think, a disaster in the making.
So the numbers, when you look at these, folks in these exit surveys could choose more than one of a variety of different reasons for leaving. So number one, as I mentioned, was the political environment. About 60% said politics was a factor in them leaving. Right behind that, though, at about in the low 50s, was senior leadership. I mean, if the SESers are not happy with their senior leadership, Bob, that goes right to the top of the organization.
And it does. It goes right to the top of the organization, and it's reflected throughout the employee viewpoint survey, because it's those four questions that apply only to the senior leadership that have the largest impact on employee engagement throughout an agency. So these people, these senior leaders, are not only having an adverse impact up and down the line, but also more specifically on these younger SES folks who are leaving.
But Bob, isn't one of the objectives of SES really is to become the senior leadership and the stability for the career ranks as the political leadership changes? I understand the 60% because that will rotate through, but the goal of the SES is really for them to be the senior leaders and the stability of the organization. So how can they have a problem with senior leadership when they are the senior leaders?
Well, an awful lot of these folks report to people who are non-SES people and to political leadership. Now, I don't have the actual question, but certainly the people who are in the key program, the senior leaders, those who are seeking to become members of the SES, report often that the political leadership in agencies fail to include and involve the members of the SES, and therefore, when someone doesn't feel included and involved, they leave.
You pointed out the number that I agree with you is striking. 4 out of 10 respondents had been SESers for less than 5 years. This might be just as bad. 1 in 10 said they were leaving SES after less than 1 year. They took all that time, put all that work into becoming a member of the senior executive service, and it didn't take them very long, 1 out of 10 of them, to decide this wasn't for them, Bob.
It did. I mean, anybody who's in the SES has gone through a senior executive service candidate development program that's a 2-year program. They've done developmental assignments. And then they have to compete for a position, they get the position, and then they leave after less than 1 year. That does not bode well for the future.
One of the good signs here, I think, is that we hear a lot about pay. Insufficient pay was a choice by fewer than half of the people who left. So although a lot of them said that they were expecting to make more because they were going to jobs outside the federal government, pay in and of itself was not one of the major reasons that people chose. There are five other aspects of their work lives that caused them to, or caused more people to say they were leaving.
People come to the federal government, in my view, and stay in the federal government because of the opportunity to contribute, the opportunity to make a difference. And I think it's true. It's reflected in these exit surveys. They want to make a difference. They can't make a difference. And so they leave.
Fewer than a third of the people that responded to this exit survey, Bob, said relationship with their supervisor, and I take that to mean their direct supervisor, was the reason for leaving. What do you think that means compared to that senior leadership question, which, as Karen pointed out, you know, these are the folks that are bumping up against the very tops of organizations?
I think this is reflective of the entire EVS survey. I know the one I love, the person who I'm directly connected to, but mm-hmm. those who are above, I don't know them. They're not connected to me. And when I feel disconnected, I score low in employee engagement.
So the most important thing about numbers like this is not the naval reflection as we've engaged in so far, Bob, but what do you do with this? How do you take this information, albeit it's a limited number of folks, but it's important nonetheless? How do you take it and do something with it that's constructive and that makes things better?
Well, here's one suggestion, Francis, that would be very easy for every single senior leader. Look at the four questions that have the most impact on the employee viewpoint survey and say, these are five things, five changes in my behavior that I'm going to do next year to increase those scores. Five things that I'm going to hold myself accountable to do over the next year to increase those scores. And I believe that if a large number of those senior leaders made that commitment and actually implemented that commitment, it would have a dramatic impact on the EVS scores.
Well, and looking at that, if I followed that one suggestion, I agree with you on four out of five. I think on the one part where it says fewer work commitments, that you would have to really look at what is the workload within that department or agency and how is that out, because SES, there is a certain amount of expectations that if you rise up into the SES that you actually get more work commitment than less work commitment. So I think this is one of the areas that may not truly be representative without diving down further into the details. What do you think about that? Or am I wrong in looking at work commitments that way?
I think the question is, as reported, is hard to know, and I would agree with you, you'd have to dive down a little bit more. But if someone is in a SES candidate development program and serves in a developmental assignment, they know what the work commitments are. There should be no surprise.
Bob Tobias is a professor of the Key Executive Leadership Program at American University. Always great to get your insight, my friend. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you very much, Francis.